Hello and welcome to the OMFIF podcast, a weekly discussion on key trends in investment and economic policy from some of the world's leading commentators. On this week's episode, we talk about the potential for central bank digital currencies. This is Ellie Graves from London, and today we talk to Bhavin Patel, an economist here at OMFIF, who has been working on central bank digital currencies and indeed is the author of a report between OMFIF and IBM launched in October during the IMF World Bank Group autumn meetings in Bali last year. The report highlights the policy concerns, mainly with regard to financial stability and the implications of widening access to central bank accounts. And whilst recognising that no major central bank intends to implement a retail central bank digital currency in the near future, the debate about whether wholesale CBDCs has moved on from questions of feasibility to practical considerations, which is where this report and podcast comes in. So, Bhavin, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Very pleased. So it would be very interesting to discuss the move from private cryptocurrencies to central bank digital currencies, perhaps the need for regulation alignment and public sector linking with the private in this space.
Yeah, so when you first look at private cryptocurrencies themselves, they've been brought to the attention of central banks. I think central banks' viewpoint on these cryptocurrencies are that they aren't actually currencies themselves. They don't meet the requirements for currency, so they're not a medium of exchange. They're a bad store of value. The volatility inherent in cryptocurrencies means that you can't really buy the same goods you could today and versus what you could buy tomorrow as well. And the medium of exchange, so not everyone actually accepts Bitcoin. When you go into a shop, you don't see anything priced in Bitcoin, and you can't even pay your taxes in Bitcoin either. So there's a legality around what a currency means. So it's both a technical construct as well as a legal construct. And when you look at the usability and how the central banks sort of view currencies themselves, they need to be able to manage the money supply as well as have an effective way of using their monetary policy tools. And if you see wider adoption of cryptocurrencies, this diminishes their policymaking tools and you don't see the real desired effects of monetary policy. So this idea of a central bank issuing a digital currency makes the usability of cryptocurrencies overcome some of the issues that they have faced. So you see the value itself being underwritten by the central bank, probably the least risky institution, and the credit risk is completely removed, as well as there is no liquidity risk as the money supply can always be increased by the central bank. So having the central bank sort of issue these CBDCs, you can see a lot more efficiency in the system, and all the benefits that you see in crypto and the blockchain technology, you can sort of bring that to the public sector, I guess.
That's really interesting. I think what would be helpful as well is in the report, it discusses the difference between wholesale and retail. And it would be good to delve into that a little bit more, maybe perhaps discussing the broad definition of CBDCs and then go into a little bit more detail on the different types.
Yeah, so central bank digital currencies can be split into two separate definitions, and these are varied by the accessibility in terms of who can use them and for what purpose. So the wholesale version is just used for interbank payments between bank to bank, and the retail version is usable for everyone, so you can make payments in the retail space and it acts in that way. It's also important to note that you can get two forms. So there's an account-based system, which just means that credit and debit payments occurs on a ledger, and this could be a blockchain DLT ledger in that case, or it can be a tokenized version. So you can have a central bank digital currency in a token form, and the asset itself is a bearer asset, and you can move actual value across to different people. So when you look at wholesale central bank digital currencies, a lot more work has been done in that area. I think the likelihood of something like that occurring from the central bank is very high, and you just seen recently JP Morgan introduced their own coin, which is used in the same space as well. And even though this isn't a central bank digital currency, acts and is sort of meant to be for the same purpose. So I think when you look at wholesale central bank digital currencies, we will probably see implementation very likely in the next 5 years. Retail, as we found out in the report, is unlikely to happen in the next maybe 10 years, depending on demand and if there is any sort of major change in attitude, I guess.
And which central banks are doing this well? Which ones are already looking to adopt the wholesale or are further along in these conversations?
I think when you look at central bank digital currencies overall, I think the benefit lies in the cross-border application. So you also need a very global approach. You can't have many countries. You can only have some countries using one system and not being able to talk to other systems. So the utility of the central bank digital currency completely diminishes in that situation. There are ways in which you can make the system interoperable, and you can see certain countries already starting to look at this sort of technology. So the MAS is looking highly at this, as well as South African Reserve Bank. I think those that are driving central bank digital currencies are, I think it varies between different types of countries. So the emerging market need for CBDC is completely different to that in advanced economies. So you look at Sweden, for example, the decline of cash in that is sort of driving the demand for something that could replace cash completely. And when you look at a country in the emerging markets, it's more about financial inclusion and the developmental sort of benefits that you get from introducing a central bank digital currency.
I guess that follows on from what you think would be the impact on central banking community and perhaps in more widely for these countries on adoption of cryptocurrencies and CBDCs?
I think when central banks consider their future steps, they need to ask a certain number of questions, especially around their policy making and the financial stability. So in terms of wholesale central bank digital currencies, you don't see a major change in how monetary policy is conducted, because it's just a straight swapping of the digital, sort of the reserves that the central banks hold for commercial banks. So you can still apply the same deposit interest rates, and you still see the same outcome from monetary policy changes. When you look at retail central bank digital currencies, this actually has a lot more policy and financial stability questions. So there is the question of, firstly, if it's going to be accessible for everyone, would this therefore mean disintermediation for the commercial banks? Will people in times of stress move their money from commercial deposits to central bank deposits just because it's less risky? And then there's a question about monetary policy. I mean, you see the benefit of removing the zero low bound, but how moral is it that the central bank could apply negative interest rates directly to someone's wallet? And it's sort of, they are very political questions, I think. So there's also the practical and technology aspects of it. The current technology isn't sufficient yet. So you see blockchain being the biggest sort of driver of crypto assets, but in terms of scalability and speeds, it's not there yet. And a lot of central banks are seeing this, and that's something that was highlighted in our report published last year. That also means that there isn't a need for a blockchain technology to be used. I think blockchain's only useful when no one actually trusts each other in the system. But if everyone trusts a central bank, you can always have a centralized party involved. Apart from technology, you also need to look at the practicality and the regulatory settings as well. You need sort of a consensus between jurisdictions. How interoperable will this be? Will this go against one country's capital controls? So in the case of China, for example, they had to ban cryptocurrencies because they just felt that they couldn't keep tabs on how much money was leaving and how much was going around the capital control. And that's one question they have to ask themselves, whether this fits into their mandate to perform monetary policy and to actually ensure financial stability at the same time.
I guess a further question with that, looking at that regulatory framework and alignment, is there a body that's working towards that, or what are the conversations between the central banks that will enable this to happen? Are they all on the same page, or are they looking at this in all different ways? As you mentioned, there are definitely differences between the emerging markets and then the more developed economies. And actually, is there a best practice scenario here as well?
The short answer is, I don't think there is actually one body which is looking to see how central bank digital currencies need to be regulated. One body which is actually regulating the payments infrastructure is the BIS, and they have their principles of what a payment infrastructure should meet. But this was all constructed in the mind that the system was going to be a paper-based system, and there was never going to be a decentralized system in place. So I think all these new sort of technology and the new approaches need to be measured, and I think best practices still yet to come in that area. When you look at different jurisdictions, one country is accelerating in one area compared to another. They're looking at different things. So I think the issue of just different countries talking to each other on this is still lacking, and I think the conversations need to actually advance a little bit more and talk about the regulation, as well as how all these countries work together in terms of creating a global interoperable system which works for everyone.
So I think that brings us on to where we think the next steps are for central bank digital currencies. Is it in this adoption of cryptocurrencies, or are there other technologies linked to CBDC which will be adapted, like blockchain for remittance payments, for example?
I think moving away from just cryptocurrencies themselves, I don't think they'll be actually widely adopted enough. As most people know, that blockchain doesn't allow for large scalability, and Bitcoin definitely won't be widely adopted because of the cost to keeping the system in consensus and across multiple and numerous people. It just won't happen in the near term. I think central banks are going to implement wholesale central bank digital currencies very soon. And I think the next question is, how does this work for retail users? And will there be a retail central bank digital currency? You talked about remittances, and I think that's one of the key questions and sort of drivers into the future about potentially looking towards retail central bank digital currency. You see small island countries maybe also looking to implement this, as they haven't got their own independent monetary system in place. Most of these are dollarized, and sometimes the costs of distributing cash and managing all this distribution activity is very costly for them.
So that's an interesting development on potentials for remittances, especially looking at smaller island economies. Thanks for that. I'm wondering what the future is, specifically if we go back to the difference between wholesale and retail. So perhaps if you offer some words about the future for wholesale, and then we will end with the retail side of it.
Yeah, so in terms of wholesale, I think the private sector is already pushing that. So you see JP Morgan Coin already coming out. I think the central banks are slightly behind in terms of actually seeing some actual adoption in that area. And there are definitely a lot of trials going in place, but actual implementation will probably happen in the next few years. When we look at retail, I think the questions that need to be answered before implementation and even trialing are very political. And I think the policy questions as well, what do central banks expect in terms of financial stability? Are there going to be any knock-on effects? Will there be a disintermediation? So I think a lot of these questions still need to be answered before we see any retail implementation. The need and requirement, so as you said, remittances is a big area, and the financial inclusion aspect in emerging markets, I think that's where our retail central bank digital currencies could help. And in advanced markets, you see just the decline in use of cash. But to actually own a major payment system takes a lot of convincing in terms of the political aspects as well. So I think that might take a lot longer than we expect.
Thank you. I think we've covered a lot of ground looking at the potential future. I think something that is very obvious is that there will be many more conversations about this. What would be interesting is delving into the catalyst for a real adoption of both the wholesale and retail, but the need for a regulatory framework is very evident. So we covered the fact that at the moment, central banks don't necessarily see cryptocurrencies as currency. The legality around what a currency is very strict. We then actually look into if central banks are adopting cryptocurrencies themselves, the fact that that takes away the credit and liquidity risk, making it more efficient. But there are two aspects, two definitions of these cryptocurrencies, central bank digital currencies, which fall into wholesale and retail, wholesale being bank to bank, retail looking at the retail space. Then actually, the fact that with these developments of central bank digital currencies have become private banks issuing their own cryptocurrencies. JP Morgan have recently done that. And then we moved on to the central banks that are doing it well, so MAS and South African Reserve Bank. But what is really evident, as goes back to the first summary of this, is there needs to be a regulatory framework that is managed by all of these banks. There needs to be technology advances and the practicality on the policy side. There has to be more conversations and more agreement around what are the potential risks. Is there anything else that you want to add to that, Bhavin?
I think just having a global consensus on these measures and making sure that the outcome, regardless whether it comes from the private sector, is the most efficient and most beneficial for everyone.
I think that is a perfect place to end. There is need for more global cooperation, and that's a conversation I'm sure we can have on many aspects in finance and policy areas. So thank you so much for joining us today, Bhavin, and thank you everyone for listening. We will be discussing the central bank digital currencies in a meeting in New York on the 15th of April. So please do look at our website for more information on this. This is a piece of work that we at OnFIF are really delving into. Additionally, we have a podcast released every Tuesday. So do subscribe to our podcast channel. And if you liked what you heard today, or even if you think we could improve on anything, please do leave us a review. Thank you so much again to Bhavin Patel for joining us, and we hope that you will listen into next week's too. Thank you.